We're in our second banner this morning. Our theme is moving along on the path from formation to mission. We want to talk about the second banner of discerning this morning. But before we come to today's discussion, I want to just come back to what we talked about last week. And if you recall, at the end of last week, I put a simple challenge out there. And if you were with us, you'll recall that we're talking about how each of these four banners has both formation elements and mission elements to them. And I think up on the screen you'll see the distinction. And we began last week by talking specifically about how the difference between formation and mission plays out in the first banner of following. And the observation that I made last week is that churches in general tend to hit a barrier, that there's something that's hard for us to move from the formation elements into the mission elements. In fact, research in Canada would indicate that most churches focus a lot of their activity above that red line. 95% of Canadian churches focus their energy on teaching people about Jesus, studying the scriptures to learn about Jesus. And the goal is, of course, that by learning about Jesus, we might actually obey Jesus and become more like Jesus. We want to be God's kingdom people, and so we study the scripture to learn about that. 95% of churches do that. Less than 5% of churches in Canada intentionally equip their people on the bottom half of the grid. Most churches in Canada do not include mission as a normal part of everyday following Jesus. Now, those churches do have committees for missions, international missions, local outreach committees. They do support missionaries financially and in prayer. They even send missionaries from within their congregations. The distinction is that they don't expect mission to be a normative part of every believer's life. That in Canada, we have relegated mission to a select few that we call missionaries. And so missions becomes a committee you can join. It becomes a career you could choose. But it's not like worship, which we expect from every follower of Christ. Research shows that this dominant picture of the church in Canada is shaping us. That less than 5% of churches in Canada are seeing people outside of church families, okay, outside of our children, being baptized. Why is this the case? Why aren't we seeing friends and neighbors and people in the city being baptized? Well, research indicates that partially it's because we no longer see mission as a normal part of following Jesus, that it's part of our everyday calling. This is why our BCMB conference has changed the job description of the executive director, the highest levels of leadership, to say no longer is your job to focus on helping churches find new pastors and mediating conflicts or problems or whatever all those things are that are involved with running a church. That's no longer the primary job of the executive director. The primary job, starting a year ago, was let's help our churches focus on mission again. That's also the focus of Cam, who is a friend of many of us, a former pastor of this church, who is the executive director of the Canadian Conference of MB Churches. He's trying to change the focus of churches to become disciple-making churches, that all of us see this as part of what it means to follow Jesus well. And so he has asked our church to be part of this group, a cohort of pastors that are coming together to talk about this issue. Not because these half a dozen churches are actually doing it well, But because we see it's really important and that we want to learn to do this well, we want to address this issue. And so the question that we're asking, the question that's represented by that red line, this bifurcation of formation and mission, that they are somehow separate, we want to ask, how can we make them one again? How can formation actually help us to engage in mission? What's stopping us? And not just what's stopping us, but what is it in the Canadian church, the culture of Canada, that short circuits what should be a fairly natural progression from formation into mission? That's the big picture question that we're asking. And so last week we asked that question with particular focus on our first banner, following. And I suggested that we might take one small step forward on our path from formation to mission by engaging in the following challenge. And here's what we put on the screen last week. The challenge was to greet three people that you don't already know. Okay, so people outside of your current sphere of influence, your family, your friends. To greet three people, but doing it out of a keen awareness that God has embraced you in his love, and that you are actually extending God's love through this greeting. So the challenge is not to greet three people. That's not it. The challenge is to be aware of God's generous love for you, that you are the beloved child of God, and letting that motivate you and shape how you see other people, even with a simple greeting. And so we said last week, it all starts with that first element, our being with Jesus as friends, the depth of our relationship with Jesus as friends, the depth of our understanding that we are the beloved child of the Father, and that when that is so richly embedded in us, how would that flow out of us into how we see other people and how we greet other people? And so that was the challenge last week. And we want to just share for a few minutes on that to see how that go. Creating conversations that are rooted in an awareness of God's love. All that to say, how was your week? How did it go? What did you learn in the process? Maybe you had an example of where it went really well, and maybe you really struggled to make the connection of these things. But I'd love to take a few minutes and unpack that, because I think the learning comes from the unpacking. The learning doesn't come from giving an assignment. It's when we actually talk about, okay, what did we experience? What did we learn? So, who might share an observation or a learning or an experience that you had this week? Who's going to start us off? Don.
I cheated a little bit because I met with a person I already know. But this is a friend of mine who's really struggling with life a lot and is starting to come back. And when I'm sitting across from the table from him talking to him, this is what happened inside my heart. Why don't you tell that man that I am prompting you to show his love to him? It's not just coming from me because I really want to help him. It's because I am fingered by God, prompted by God, to talk to him about these things. And I was able to do that, which really quite surprised me because I was not planning at all to bring that into the conversation. He's a very Coptic, a very religious type Christian. He doesn't understand the beautiful relationship that we can have with the love. So I pray that message of love for him sticks.
Perfect. Thanks, Don. Any other examples? Was it hard to even remember to do this? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I'm getting a no. It wasn't hard to remember, but I'm getting some yeses that it was hard. Renee, yeah.
I don't know if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a talker. So I tend to say hi to lots of people, even strangers I don't know as I'm passing them on the street. So I gave myself a different challenge and said, I'm going to try and have a conversation with people I usually just say hi with. And so I ended up having a conversation with a gal that I know, but I wouldn't normally stop and talk, and we ended up having more in common than I thought. So that was cool. Great.
Yeah, just being aware and diving a little bit deeper. Thank you, Anne-Marie.
I met different people at the bus stop when they're waiting for a bus. I talked to everybody. And, you know, once you get to know the person, you'd be surprised how friendly they can be. And I talk to everybody everywhere, the hospital, everywhere, and I really enjoy it.
That's great. Thanks, Anne-Marie. Yes.
I actually had been doing a little bit more intentionally through September to say hi to different moms and people at our school. And this last week, I didn't do as much because Owen got sick, but I had time to reflect. And I have met, what stood out to me is I've met 3 different moms who are Muslim, but that's not their primary identity, even though they might wear the full hijab, and that was surprising to me. And one was, she's from the U.S., but she's Muslim, but now living here for 5 years, and originally from Sudan, but she only lived there for 3 years. And so there was a common theme from her and a couple others where they're like, I'm a puzzle piece, and people see one thing, but I don't always identify as strongly with my nationality or my culture. And then there's my religion. And then there's my nation. So I would say my nation's the U.S., my culture is from Sudan or whatever. Like, it was really interesting. And I was hearing isolation for all these different women because they felt a little misunderstood or a little bit like they're not sure which of those puzzle pieces connect with everybody else's puzzle pieces. And then I processed it with another woman who I've been getting more friends with, and I asked her. She came as a refugee 20 years ago after leaving a war, and I asked her, like, what was it like coming into Canada? I'm noticing cultural barriers, like, I don't always know what friendship means to different cultures. And I realize for me, that's a hesitancy. I might see these people and they'll be like, oh, come over then. Let's have like immediately this welcoming atmosphere and like, let's share a meal. And there's a hesitancy of like, what's this gonna cost me? I don't know. And so that hesitancy of not knowing what this friendship actually is or what the expectations are about time and commitment, that's where my fear and nervousness comes in, and I'm just acknowledging it. So that's where I'm at.
That's great. Thank you so much. That theme is going to come up next week when we look at compassion, because when we actually start engaging, it costs us something, and we don't know what it's going to cost us. So that was a great bridge to next week. Thank you. Someone else. Sean.
You said something that made me laugh. So I'm a truck driver, and I'm loading at a cement plant. You kind of have to stop, open your hatches, go get loaded. So I meet this one truck driver, has a really nice truck, and I really like him, and his name's George. And I'm like, George, you got a really nice truck. And the first day we met, I said, George, I really like your truck. And we go up to unload, to close our lids, and he starts just like, I just moved here from Saskatchewan, life is hard, left my girlfriend, starting over. And something in somebody said, you want to come to church? And I was just like, that I wouldn't really come out of me very often. And he was like, I would love to come to church with you. Gave me a big hug. And those in the trucking industry, a trucker hugging another trucker doesn't happen. So it was like, oh, God, you're so good. I shared it with Daryl about, oh, this was 6 months ago. And every time we keep seeing each other, I keep inviting him. But he's like, I'm not sure. I think I'll catch on fire when I get. I'm like, God is so good. He won't, yeah. So I just was prompted, and I obeyed.
Awesome. Thanks, Sean. So let me tell you my experience this week. So after work, I try to sometimes just go for a walk in the neighborhood. And I'm walking along, and I'm thinking, I'm just going to say hi to people that I see. So there's a guy in his garage, and he's got a really nice old, I don't know, I'm going to say it's like a 1962 Pontiac or something like that, but it's a nice car. And he's just standing in his garage, and I walk by, and I say hi. And he says hi, and I realize that I'm past his house before I even thought of, you know, you could have stopped and had a conversation. And so my observation was this: I'm walking too fast. Like I'm going through life at a pace that's faster than what allows me to actually engage in the conversations that I want to have. So I thought, should I go back? And so I just thought, oh, you know, I'll finish my walk. I've learned something. I need to slow down and actually take time when I see the opportunity. Same thing happened to me. I was getting a physio appointment with my shoulder, and I thought, okay, I'll you know, try to have a conversation with the physio guy. And I realized that just about every time I'm spending time with people, it's in a setting where there's a very defined amount of time and a very defined purpose, what you're supposed to accomplish in that. And I thought, it's so hard to bring relationship into efficiency, if I could put it that way, because we got to get this physio, we got to talk about that stuff. I thought, wow, like, I'm so structured that I'm finding it really difficult. So to me, just the lesson of needing to slow down so that when I see an opportunity, I'm not going so fast that I'm past it before it actually engages. So anyways, thanks for engaging in this. I think it's important that we try, that we become aware and slowly creating a culture in ourselves of actually slowing down and trying to engage in these things. So this morning, I want to talk about the second element, which is discerning. And we're actually going to do some breakout groups on this morning. We haven't done this for a long time, but I hope you're willing to engage. But let me just begin by reviewing what discerning actually means for us. First on the screen, we discern through Scripture. And you may recall, I hope you do by now, that the difference between studying Scripture and discerning Scripture, studying Scripture is what it has to say to all of us. Discerning Scripture is, what is God saying to me on this day, in this moment, in this circumstances? So discerning Scripture, you have to slow down long enough to let God actually speak to you through the Scripture. Discerning through the Holy Spirit, learning to recognize His voice. Again, as He speaks to us, do we recognize His voice when He's speaking to us? Discerning in circumstances. Again, seeing God at work in the everyday situations of life, where do you see God at work? It could be through a stirring of your heart in a certain situation. It could be a thought that, oh, all of a sudden I thought I need to pray for this person in the circumstances of life. And then discerning in community. So these are the people with whom you share discerning experiences. These are the people who learn to discern with you. So you're growing in that challenge, or so you're growing in that discipline of discernment. So the challenge this morning again is, what is it that's holding us back? What's the big picture of that red line between the things that are above the line and the things that are below the line? And so I want to engage you with some questions. I said last week that there were four questions of formation. The first one really is, you know, what's the issue? And so what is it that's stopping us from crossing the red line? And then the second one is there some learning from Scripture that comes out of that? And we're just going to start with those first two questions. So what's the issue? As you think about the practice of discerning, why do you think it's hard for us to bridge the gap between the things above the line and below the line? Why is it hard for us to bridge the gap with discernment? And you might just look at the four elements and what's the difference between them? Is there any observations you might make? And then I'm going to actually broaden the question to say, what is there in Canada? What is there in our Canadian culture that maybe makes it difficult for us to do this? So it might be something as broad as the pace of life that I experienced this week that makes it really hard to discern. So is there anything in our Canadian culture? Is there anything personally? And then secondly, are there any scriptures that address discerning? Is there anything that comes to mind? It could be a story from scripture, an example from scripture. Is there a direct teaching about this that you would want to bring into the conversation? And then since we're talking about discerning, what are you discerning from that scripture? What is God actually saying to us about that? So let's take some time. I'm going to say about 10 minutes and debrief these questions that are on the screen. So if you can break into groups of four or five, whatever's comfortable for you, turn your chairs, and I'm going to come back at noon, which gives us 9 minutes. At noon, that's an hour and 9 minutes. I'm going to come back at 11 o'clock. So we've got 9 minutes to kind of debrief this, and then or to talk, and then we'll debrief it a little bit at the end of 10 minutes, okay? So you've got the next 9 or 10 minutes in small groups. All right, I'm going to call us back together. I'd love to take a few moments and hear what you're talking about in your little breakout groups. See if we can learn from each other and make some observations that would help us engage in this conversation. All right. So, what did you talk about? Did you notice anything that you thought might be a barrier that makes it hard for us to move from the top half to the bottom half? Were there any observations about that? Were there any scriptures that came to mind about this particular topic? So let's just start there. Or maybe you went on another rabbit trail that was actually really helpful for your group. What did you end up talking about? Melissa.
I very much come into play with this in my work environment, but it goes across all places. But the verse is in Matthew 25:40, and the king will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me." And so the least of us is all around us, and it's for me in the context of special ed, there's that, but then there's socially, there's the least of these. And so just the challenge to notice those least people. Yeah.
Great. Thanks. Others? Yeah.
I'd actually said that there's a quote that says, sacrifice is the, convenience is the sacrifice of community. Where if you want to have community, on one hand, you have to sacrifice your convenience, right? You know, being at home or like being comfortable or not wanting to have to spend your time or your energy or your effort or your money. But on the other hand, that's also all you have to sacrifice is your convenience. As long as you're uncomfortable and you're doing it for Jesus, you're going to build community. If you sacrifice that, that's super easy to give up when it could be much more expensive to just have a relationship with other people.
Great, great observation. Henry, I'm going to let someone else share, okay? Someone else? Other observations? Oh, Angela.
Yeah, we had just talked a lot of challenges with this. We talked about kind of this desire for individuality in our culture, being independent, and how that goes against actually that convenience piece of you don't want to build community, or you find it hard to build community. We talked about the culture, especially around church. It can feel like a place where you need to have your church face on and your Sunday best, and so actually all your dirty laundry is not something you want to air or share in community with people. We also talked about that imposter syndrome feeling of, even in the top part, discerning being actually maybe a thing that isn't always something we have a lot of confidence in, especially to share with others. So feeling like what I have to say might not be from God. I don't know if this is actually worth offering, so I just won't. And then those are all barriers that just keep us from building that community around discerning.
Yeah, that's a great observation, that discerning requires some risk. So we have to, there has to be a trust in community to do that. It's great. Thank you. Anyone else? One of the observations that I made when I look at this list is that the top two things are things that we tend to schedule into our morning devotions. Okay? Scripture, prayer, listening to God. The other stuff is the rest of the day. It's like making the connection between what I do for 15, 30, 60 minutes in the morning and actually carrying it with us through the rest of the day. I found that to be sometimes a disconnect, that the connection I have with the Lord in the morning is great and it's rich, and then the pace of the day takes over and I'm going, okay, I have to slow down. So that, to me, that was one observation. Anything else? Don.
Quick observation. I think you should wipe off the red line in that whole column and put it all together.
That's the goal. He's saying, let's take the red line out and put it all together. And that's the goal, isn't it? Yeah, that's the goal. We want to bring these together. Theoretically, there shouldn't be a red line there. But we're just acknowledging that it takes some effort to do that. It's not always easy to do that. One of the scriptures that I was thinking about with this is the disciples on the road to Emmaus after Jesus' resurrection. They're walking along. Jesus is right there, and they don't recognize him. They don't recognize that Jesus is right there. And then in hindsight, they say, "Were not our hearts burning within us?" And there's this, Jesus is there, and we recognize it in hindsight. And I'm going, oh, to be able to actually recognize it in the moment, which means we actually have to pay attention to Jesus' presence. I had a conversation with a friend of mine when I was leading international missions. There was an organization similar to Casa de Luz, but it was in Brazil. And I worked with the leader of that and helped him establish a board, and we did a lot of work together. And every couple of years, he comes to Canada and the U.S., and they're doing donor relationships with churches and donors and things like that. And we always try to get together because we formed a deep friendship working in this ministry together. I said, "So how are you doing? Like, and we're about the same age." And I said, "Are you thinking about retiring at all, or what's going to happen when you're done?" And wouldn't you know what? They're doing succession planning right now for his leadership role, just like we're doing for my leadership role. And I go, "How's that going?" And he said, "Well, we're praying about who should take over." And then there was this gentleman, and my heart just started to overflow. I knew this was God's provision. I thought, that's it. That's what we're after. Not figuring it out, but just that there's this realization that God is at work and recognizing where that is and then stepping into it. But when we're so busy, we tend to miss those things. So again, want to just encourage you this week as you go through your week, the things that you discern in the morning, is there a way that you can take one thing that you've learned in the morning from Scripture and take it with you and share it with one other person somewhere during the day? Okay? Something you've discerned in the morning, what did I learn in the morning, and how can you bring that with you through the day, maybe into a conversation with another person to encourage someone else, just paying attention to the things that the Lord is giving you, the opportunity. I'm going to ask the worship team to come, And as they do, I'm going to share one last testimony of something that happened to me just this morning. And Jeff Twells was a part of this. So while we're setting up here this morning, it was about 10 to 9, I think. Jeff calls and he says, "Hey, I don't have a ride to church this morning." And normally in my mind, I would go, "I can't go because I'm getting ready for the service and I have to go and go over my message." And then I thought, "I'm not really preaching this morning. All I'm doing is facilitating conversations. You should go." And so I just slowed down. I said, "Okay, I actually have time to do this." And so I went and picked up Jeff. And as we're driving back, Jeff, you reached into your pocket and you pulled out a piece of paper with a scripture. And he decided that he would write out a passage of scripture this morning. And the scripture that he wrote was from Isaiah. And it's just this promise that, "Do not be afraid, I will be with you wherever you go." And I thought, that's exactly what I need to hear from the Lord this morning. And I just said, "Jeff, thank you so much for reading that scripture to me." Because in my mindset this morning, I'm starting to fall back into striving rather than just leading out of God's presence. And because I think I slowed down enough to say, "I have time to pick up Jeff," the Lord honored that with a scripture that I felt was just a real blessing to me. So, Jeff, thank you for sharing that scripture. Small little things, and I think that when we pay attention, God really responds to that. Holy Spirit, thank you for being with us and for teaching us with your gentleness this morning. And I guess for me, it feels like part of my learning is just confessing that I'm walking too fast during the day. And that part of our observations about things that are holding us back are things that that maybe we're walking too fast or not wanting to pay the cost of being in community and risking things. So thank you for just gently bringing these things to our mind this morning. Our desire is to live in community and in discernment, and that we would represent you well in our everyday lives, the places that we live and learn and work and play. So thank you for a community of believers that has a desire to grow in these things, and we pray that by your gracious mercy and patience that you would lead us to that kind of life. We pray that we would just find ways to honor you and the relationships that we have, the people that we meet day by day and week by week. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.